today on My First Concert.
You know, you had mentioned, I can't remember if it was before we started rolling or not, but you mentioned with Jeremy Messersmith, we did Letterman.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, you know, at Ed Sullivan Theater. And that was wild. I mean, to play there, it was incredibly cool. But I couldn't, like, you know, one of the New York One, these like union guys was like, hey, man, you know, Paul McCartney took a crap in there, man. You know that bathroom? And I'm like, man, I don't even... Like.
Well, today we visit with another one of Minnesota's great musicians who grew up in Montana, I believe. And that's Ian right. Allison is with us, who worked with a lot of performers, John Legend, Soul Asylum. We were just talking off the air about Jeremy Messersmith and watching him. I still remember watching him on Letterman in the background playing the bass. And Jeremy, it was just this awesome song that they put together. We might talk about that. It's brought to you today by Aquarius Home Services from the AquariusHomeServices.com studios. Jeff and all our buddies over there, and your friends, more importantly. And also sponsored by our bank here at TalkNorth.com, and that's Star Bank. And our thanks to them, StarBank.net, if you want to learn about this family-owned bank. I'll tell you more about them later. But they're just great, located throughout the state. Ian Allison, appreciate your time and on what's a busy schedule, but let's start at the beginning, as we do on this show. What was the first concert you went to?
I will tell you. I need to tell you that I love your voice so much. Oh, well, man. I'm over here going, oh, God, this incredible voice. And I need to take some lessons about ad reads and CTAs. I'm podcasting myself a bit now, and I just... That intro was lovely.
Well, so. Whiskey and cigarettes.
There we go. Could be on the radio.
Incredible. My mother was a big music fan, and I grew up in a little town in Montana called Kalispell, where there was not much music, right? Mm-hmm. Our next door neighbor was our babysitter, and she was amazing. She was 15 when I was 10. I had a huge crush on her. Her name was Missy. Missy would come over, babysit me, my little sister, and she loved hair metal. Oh, so wow. Her whole thing. So I was born in 78. So I came up, just started to get into MTV when the Sunset Strip hair metal thing was happening.
Yeah.
And Missy.
Headbangers Ball.
Yes. Headbangers Ricky Ball, yeah. Rackman, that whole thing. And so Missy loved Poison and Winger and Warrant and Slaughter and Firehouse and Bon Jovi and Skid Row and right. Yeah. And I thought, oh, all these bands, they look like girls. That's weird. And Missy said, no, that's cool. And I went, oh, it's cool. And because I was in love with her, I was now in love with all of this music.
Sure.
That's the way it works, right?
That's right.
It's about your influences. And I was influenced by my next door neighbor who I had a huge crush on. And so I fell in love with all that music. And I genuinely did. I mean, it was a kid from a small town sees Hot Tub Lamborghinis on MTV. And that just seems like a fantasy world.
Yeah.
And it probably was, but maybe not for, you know, Nikki Sixx and those guys that were really engaging in it. But My mom was so cool, and she took me to see Bon Jovi and Skid Row on the New Jersey tour was 1988.
On the same bill?
The same bill. Wow. Skid Row with a young Sebastian Bach, who just looked like Cindy Crawford somehow. You know what I mean? Like, he was like absolutely gorgeous. He was gorgeous.
Yeah.
And I will never forget, man. I mean, I have goosebumps. I'm just talking about it right now. When we're there, I'm 10. My mom takes me. We made a banner that said Skid Row rules. I unfurl it over the thing, you know, and Sebastian Bach pointed at it at one point.
Wow.
I think he did. And he was like, oh my
validation,
God.
Validation,
yeah. And two amazing things that happened at that show. One was they started a chant and they said, okay, it was in Boise, Idaho. Okay. Boise, give me an F. F, give me a U. We all know where this is going. And my mom said, now, Ian, this is nothing new. This is, you know, Country Joe and the Fish did this first. And so I was getting, you know, cultured, right?
Yeah.
And then there was a great moment too, where a joint was going around and my mom said, hey, there's people are passing what's maybe sort of like a cigarette, but it's drugs. It's called marijuana. I said, okay, I'm 10. She said, here's the deal. It's illegal. So you shouldn't do it, but at shows, people do it. So I'm going to show you how to deal with this. And I said, okay. And so as it came around and was passed to my mother, she said, thank you so much. And then passed it along to the next person. And she said, that's how you do it. She's like, because it's always nice to be asked.
Wow. What a lesson.
I thought you would do your first marijuana experience right there.
Yeah. No, she was, you 10. Know. Yeah, she was, you know, it was like, let's talk about being a responsible parent and a responsible citizen here.
And how cool is it she takes you to that show?
Oh, incredibly cool.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, incredibly cool. She took me to a bunch of shows, and that was the first one, but there were others as well. You know, she drove through the night to, you know, like a cool, supportive mom, not thinking the music I liked was stupid. Right?
Yeah, I didn't put it down. Yeah.
Yes. Yep. Because it's so easy to do that as a parent, you know, to think your kid's music is not as cool as the, but she got into it and we would read lyrics together. And I was actually just hanging with my mom. She just turned 70 and we went out and had coffee and, but she's a wonderful lady. Her name is Beth. And, she was a big, big reason why I'm doing music now, because she thought it was, she encouraged it in me.
That's what a great example for others out there. Skid Row, you made me think of them. I was at Matt's Burgers with my wife, and we were doing a staycation. I had a few days off from work, so we went around all these places that I probably talked about a million times on the radio, and I finally went to, you know, I'd been to Matt's Burgers. She had never been there, so we go to Matt's Burgers in South Minneapolis, Davide, which is famous, and I don't know what Switzerland had, but
no,
I do know that's what Minneapolis.
I brought my... clients from Switzerland there.
Oh, wow. Well,
I needed to introduce them to Juicy Lucy, the original.
Well, so we're walking in a hot summer day, and not to digress, I don't mean to make it up, but I thought about Skid Row. And these guys come out all wearing black, and there's like seven of them get out of a van, and we're walking at the same time. They're walking by, and one of the guys says, hey, we need a picture in front of Matt's Burgers. And I looked at him and said, hey, so you want me to take this? I said, you want to be in it? Oh, it'd be great. So I take it and I frame it up and I'm doing it from this angle and this angle and I give it back to him. And I said, yeah, you guys look like you're in a band. I said, are you performing somewhere around? He says, we're performing over in Kadat. And I said, the Rock Fest? And so I knew there was somebody significant. And I listened to Skid Row, and that's who it was.
Unbelievable.
And I didn't know it. And do you think I'm thinking about seeing him in the afternoon at Matt's Burgers in South Minneapolis?
No way.
We go in and we're sitting down, and their table next to us couldn't have been nicer. My wife says, there's your good friend, Skid Row. Like, you listen to them, you don't have a clue what they look like. But that was kind of wacky.
Amazing. I love it.
Anyway, so but now did you? You can play all sorts of music, obviously, just mentioned, and for John Legend, the Soul Asylum, to many others as well. So then when did you start getting into other kinds, other genres of music?
Yes, I came up a rock kid. I was dismal at sports. I was really tall really early, so basketball, and I was bad at it. And then it was a classic bass player story, right, of like, you know, my friends are in a band, and the cute, adorable one, there's two of them, and there's a guitar player and the singer, right? And then another one of my buddies was playing drums, and I was the like chubby, awkward, big kid. You get the bass, man. You know?
Bass.
And I, in the beginning, I was like, oh, this sucks. I can't believe, you know, the bass. But I had a couple people in my family that played. I have an uncle, my uncle Roman, and my cousin Arison. They played, so I kind of knew, oh yeah, the bass. So I got really into it. It became my identity. I came up a rocker. But then I was in a band where I grew up, a childhood band. We still actually play occasionally, like once a year. The band's called Down and Above. Really fun rock band. But when the boyhood aspirations of taking over the world in your teenage rock band sort of run out, right? Because it's pretty much inevitable for everybody. Your first band, that's not the band that takes over the world. You know, maybe for you too, it is, right? But not for me.
Yeah.
And so I got really into being a side musician. So I was trying to play for different people. And I love that. I admire side musicians. The great Tony Levin plays in Peter Gabriel's band.
Peter Gabriel,
right?
Yeah.
Yes. And so there's Lee Sklar, right, who played with Paul Simon and Phil Collins. And so I was a big fan of that kind of player, sort of the player in the background, but that contributed something really meaningful to a recording. Mm. And so I loved music. And so I was checking out different genres of music that sort of my favorite bass players were in, I suppose. So that led me into world music, into jazz. And then, you know, of course, there was prog rock and metal, you know, from my early days. But then also I really got into hip hop. So I play with Dessa. That's another.
Oh yeah. Dessa's been on the show. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So I get to play with her. I played some on her last record as well. And so it became this big love of music and of trying to mold myself into the right thing for that particular artist that I was working with, whether it be live or in the studio.
You have, you mentioned Tony Levin.
Yeah.
And you were a huge Peter Gabriel fan, a Tony Levin fan, maybe more so. But you would still put that album, the one album I'm thinking of, on your top 10 list, wouldn't you?
Maybe so.
Yeah.
So.
Yes. Daniel Lanois production, right? Yep. Early Daniel Lanois. And with just that band, I think at their creative best, just incredible. And Peter Gabriel not scared of his band trying different things. And, you know, there's a great story of that tune Big Time, you know, the big radio
yep.
tune.
Oh, yeah.
Of I think it was Jerry Murata. They wanted to do a synth-based thing, and Tony was having trouble, but he had this idea. He said, Jerry, would you come out and play my bass with your sticks? And so there's this great moment. It's in sort of right before verse two. Or no, maybe it's actually before verse one. They start with the chorus in that tune. Before verse one, you have this cool bass thing. And that's Jerry Murata playing drums on Tony's bass. And to me, it's incredible. Like that level of creativity in the studio and producing and making music without fear.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of rare, especially now. And I think, you know, big pop acts, that would have been sort of silly maybe. But Peter was always pushing in those directions and trying to make new sounds. And Tony Levin right there with him. I mean, Tony is one of my heroes, absolutely.
Yeah. Is that In Your Eyes on that album?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean.
Sledgehammer.
Sledgehammer, In Your Eyes, big time. And with that beautiful ballad called Don't Give Up with Kate Bush, just melts me. Amazing record. Yeah.
Your first bass guitar.
Yeah.
What was it?
Oh, I love that question. That I don't think anyone's ever asked me that question. It was a rented, it started with an H. It was either, I wish I knew definitively, it was either a Hondo or a Harmony. Either way, kind of a knockoff Fender P bass. It was red. I believe it had a black pickguard. And we rented it from Music One Workshop in Kalispell, Montana, you know, and that, you know, my parents were going to rent the bass. We're going to see if you like it.
Good idea.
Right. We're not going to make a big financial investment at this point. My parents didn't have a lot of money, and I fell in love with it. And then, you know, I was able to then buy a bass. You know, my parents helped me, like a $300 Yamaha, sort of a student model bass, and worked my way up from
there. Do you still have that?
I wish I did.
Yeah.
I wish I did. I don't. In fact, I wish I would have just bought the rental. That first red P bass was so cool. But then, no, I've been through a bunch of basses since, but I wish I still had one of those first ones. I don't, though.
But you're a gear guy, right?
I'm a big gear guy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big gear guy. I am. Yeah, and I think if you love the aesthetic of instruments and you like to play them, it's the best thing you can buy. I have a good friend named Dan Folds who talks about guitars as being double art. He said, because simultaneously, they are aesthetic artwork that bring you joy when you see them. Just walk into a room with a beautiful instrument and you're like, oh. Yeah. But then also, you pick it up and it's a tool to make beautiful art.
Mm.
Double art.
I like it.
Painting can't do that for you. Sculpture can't do that for you. You know what I mean?
Music can do it.
That's right.
And guitars can do it. In fact, you know, I want you to think about this. I'll take a break, but if we were to put on a show now, say, Ian, you got to do a show here in 10 minutes, huge crowd.
Dear God.
And none of your equipment's here. I'm going to ask you what bass you would select to start the show and say, okay, you're getting one guitar Here you go. It's all brought to you. Ian Allison's with us, just a super talent. Now, many of you, I'm sure, have seen him on social media because he has a great presence here and even getting bigger and better with some of these lessons things he's doing as well. So we'll talk about that in a second. I do want to thank our bank, Star Bank from TalkNorth.com. They're the ones that do all the things for us here. And at Star Bank, if you got a business, they got great lending solutions. They got products tailored to assist you and your particular business. They're family run. They started here in Minnesota years ago. Still run by the same family. 10 locations now, including right here in Minneapolis, St. Paul. Loans, we're always, I think most of us at some point are thinking of a loan, whether we want to buy that rented base or whatever it might be. Their turnaround time is great. Service outstanding. Home equity line of credit. Maybe it's the RV you've been thinking about. Heading out to Montana and going out to Yellowstone or Glacier or Kalispell or wherever it is. They handle it all. Personal banking, checking, savings, HSA, safe deposit. I mean, everything you can think of in banking. But they do it with a personal touch. It's a family touch. And you will find that out when you call them because, guess what? They actually answer their telephone calls. And when you go to the bank, they get to know you. In fact, the second time you come in, there's a pretty good chance they'll know you. And what's even cooler is that you'll probably know them as well. It's kind of like banking should be and was. Experience banking at your fingertips, the digital stuff, they have that. You got to have access to that. They're really great. So I'd call Star Bank today or online at starbank.net. Loans are subject to a loan application approval, member FDIC, and equal housing lender, starbank.net. Okay, Ian, you're in concert. Tonight, say, hey, yeah, Ian, you're playing. We're featuring you. What instrument are you going to select?
I'm just blown away by that Star Bank ad read. I'm just still sort of reeling from that. Let me just say that they are very lucky to have your golden pipes supporting them, my good man. Okay, I'm live. Is this an instrument that I have to select from the room here?
Or no.
I get
no,
to go home and grab a bass?
Yeah, if you say, okay, bring me whatever you want, the promoter says, I got it, whatever you want. What do you want?
Okay. There is.
Or is that unfair to ask you?
No, not at all. There's an instrument that is starting to be built for me from a great luthier called Mike Lull in Seattle. His son Spencer now runs the company. They build a bass that looks like a Fender Jazz bass, but it has Gibson Thunderbird pickups in it.
Oh, cool.
So it's sort of a hybrid, of a classic Fender Jazz, and then also another classic, which is the Gibson Thunderbird. Those two things combined. I'm lucky enough to have my initials on it. It's called the IMA4. I currently have two of those basses in my possession. So I would ask the promoter if he wouldn't maybe, give the house a jingle. Maybe my wife could hand it to him through the door and they'd bring one of those. But before that instrument, I've been playing a lot of, classic Fender basses.
Yeah.
Some other things too. But that
Stingray.
Yeah, Stingray. Oh, wow, very good. Come on, got some bass knowledge in there.
Well, I couldn't play one, but I could talk about them.
Yeah, I love the classics. Yeah. And it was really fun working with this luthier, Mike Lull, that company.
So is this your design?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, they had a version of it, and I tweaked the design to make this really fun hybrid of those two classics together. And it's been, like I say, I'm not the first to do it, but I'm the first to do this particular recipe.
Yeah.
And so,
well, you got your initials on it. I think your 15-year-old babysitter would have been impressed by that.
I think you might be right. Missy would have been pumped, man. She would have been pretty excited about that. Yeah.
In the early, I guess maybe through your career so far, and you still got a lot to go. Any venues that you've played in stand out for you?
Oh my gosh. I got to play. So I've also been Eric Hutchinson's bass player and musical director. Been playing bass with him. He's a New York singer-songwriter. Been playing with him for the last 10 years. Been his MD for the last maybe 4 years, I'm going to say. And we went out with Kelly Clarkson. Got to support Kelly Clarkson on a big run. And we played some amazing places. But we got to play Excel in St. Paul. And that was unbelievable.
Awesome.
I sort of was thinking, I don't know that I'll ever do giant places like that. We got to play Radio City Music Hall on that run too, which was incredible.
How was that? Is it nerve-wracking for a musician? Or just, I mean, well, you're so confident in what you do, but it is Radio City Music Hall.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes. And you kind of, for me, I can't really let in the sort of the grandiosity of that all until after I'm done playing. To me, I want to treat it like it's just any other show. Yeah. I mean, I want to treat it with reverence and respect, but I don't want to get like, oh my God, you know, Elvis was here. You know, I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah.
I want to think about that and freak out about that after the show. You know, you had mentioned, I can't remember if it was before we started rolling or not, but you mentioned with Jeremy Messersmith, we did Letterman.
Yeah.
And that was, of course, you know, at Ed Sullivan Theater. And that was wild. I mean, to play there, it was incredibly cool. But I couldn't, like, you know, one of the New York One, these like union guys was like, hey, man, you know, Paul McCartney took a crap in there, man. You know that bathroom? And I'm like, man, I don't even, like, I can't even think about the people that have been in here because I need to do my job. And then afterwards I'll freak out. But yeah, so, you know, some places, some classic places like that are just unbelievable, unbelievable. But I also have to say, every time I get to play First Ave, whether, you know, Jeremy plays First Ave, Dessa too, and whenever I get to do that, I'm just thrilled. I mean, historic. Purple Rain, baby.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yep. Stars on the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the coolest places that I've ever played is just right here, Minneapolis. Right.
Speaking of music, you're still a Star Wars guy, aren't you?
Yeah.
You know what? So I was just thinking about this. But when we were growing up, TV shows and I don't know, whatever, we had three networks at the time, yes, long before the cable access happened. But even if TV shows were on that you didn't really care for,
yep,
we all seem to know the theme song.
Sure.
And so you whether, you know, Hawaii Five-0 or Batman or whatever, I mean, even if you didn't love the show, those theme songs were, and I don't know what happened. I'm sure they all have theme songs. It's just not like it was. I'm not saying it's better or worse. It's just not the same. But I think about that because as a Star Wars fan, I'm curious your thoughts as a musician. When you first heard the theme to Star Wars, which of course is iconic, if you don't know the movie, people know the Star Wars theme.
Absolutely. That John Williams score, just the 1-5, dum dia di do do di. I mean, it's like unbelievable.
Classic.
It's so classic. But I don't remember because, you know, so I was born in 78 and the first Star Wars came out in 77.
Yes. Yep.
But so my father, who is a big Star Wars fan, took me to see Empire Strikes Back in the movie theater. So I would have been 3, I think. And I remember going out. It's one of my first memories. We went out and it was getting dark. And it, you know, like if, as a 3-year-old, you know, you don't get to be out in the dark very often. Yeah. You know, I didn't. Star Wars was always a big part of just my childhood. My dad liked to buy the toys. So he would, you know, I still have my old AT-AT, right?
Wow. And
so that music.
Yeah, that's real collectible stuff.
Yes, I know. Yeah. It's crazy. That music, that franchise is just a huge part of my life. And I get into even the new, like The Mandalorian has an amazing soundtrack and, you know, amazing theme. And some of these new shows, even Andor, I could get real nerdy about it, so I'll refrain. But some of these shows have really lovely considered scores. But the classics, the ones that you hear so much as a kid, like you mentioned Batman, you know, those are the ones that really do stand out. But I don't know if it's because they're better or if it's because your brain is just, it's sort of the first time you're encountering that stuff when you're really young. I don't know.
With your presence on social media now, which I do want to ask you about, Ian Allison is our guest, the idea of maybe scoring something, would that be right up your alley? Would you like to do that?
Yes. I mean, that actually sounds incredible to me. I love sounds, so I'm very inspired.
Well, you have the capability to do it.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I think I could give it a good shot.
Yeah.
I love cinematic sounds. So, you know, the soundtrack and how they did sounds for Inception, you know, for instance, that like, there are all these big sort of like amazing, like reverse string sounds. And there's sci-fi genre is incredible too. Like the Blade Runner movies, I think just have incredible soundtracks. And so if it's something sort of post-apocalyptic that kind of plays into my 80s dystopian sci-fi kid nature, I think I could give it a good run.
Okay. That'd be fun. He is Ian Allison. He's our guest. We're going to chat some more here on My First Concert. You can download us on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast, talknorth.com, and feel free to subscribe. It's the easiest way to get it and show up on your email or on your messaging or whatever you do for getting those kind of subscriptions. Just make sure that you hear it, because it's really been fun for Davide and I to chat with our Minnesota musicians. We're blessed with a lot of great musicians, a lot of young ones coming up, a lot of legendary ones that we've talked about on this show. And we'll continue to talk with Ian, who's a big part of this Minnesota music scene as well. I do want to mention Jeff and all my good friends over at AquariusHomeServices.com, because some say as you age, surprises diminish. And daily, I actually am astounded by my love for Connecticut water treatment systems. And it started over 2 decades ago with Jeff. And I remember when he first started the business and started talking about all the things they could do, including water. And I guess I just hadn't put that much thought in the water. And then through the years, as you're doing news stories about what's in the water, what shouldn't be in there, this cleans it all out. It's a constant to life. And with Connecticut in both my home and maybe you have in your cabin, that's a cool place. I can confidently say it's the best, just like the Aquarius team is. It's unbeatable. Pristine cleanliness of the laundry, the dishes, the showers, the minimal salt usage. Plus, it runs on, this is a good part, zero electricity. And thus the name, right? Connecticut. My recommendation, get a free water analysis. It's free, it's free, it's free from Aquarius Home Services. And you can learn more about your water. So whether you're in Fridley or you're over in Lilydale, your water is not the same. It's different all over the metro and wherever you may be listening to this. Prepare to be amazed by Connecticut water. And when you think about all things in your home, water should really be at the top of that list, right? Aquarius believes in earning the right to be recommended. And they're just a click away at ConnecticutMN.com or go to AquariusHomeServices.com. Ian Allison, one of the great bassists, and certainly here in the Twin Cities, but nationally as well. Social media, man, you have conquered. You are all over that, and you've got a great presence on that. How did that start? How long ago did that start?
Well, thank you. I'm far from conquering it. That's very nice of you to say. I do pay attention to it. I do invest a lot of time and energy into it. When I turned 40, I had this, maybe some would say a midlife crisis, but I have a friend who says, no, a spiritual awakening. That's better.
There we go.
Yeah. Where, I came up a band guy. I was in a band for a long time. And then when that ended, I was a side musician and I was at the behest of everybody's record cycle and tour dates. And when I turned 40, I thought I need something that I can control, or that at least I feel like I can control. And what I decided to do was double down on Instagram specifically. So I started to take Instagram really seriously. I started to try to build a community and share in my life. So, when I was ripping the floors out of a space, I was documenting that. I was trying to be fun and engaging and talk about Uncle Rick, who was coming over and ripping up the floorboards. And then I was talking about the gigs that I played. And instead of trying to posture or trying to set myself up as a guru, I was just talking about what I was doing. And I play with some really amazing artists. Yeah. And I make some really, I think, interesting sounds for those artists that's mm-hmm. different than the stuff that I see. And for the longest time, I thought, well, maybe I'm kind of doing it wrong. And then the awakening was, no, I'm just doing it my way. And what if someone would be inspired or by that or find it interesting? So I took the gamble. I doubled down on myself. I thought, I'm going to start talking about it like I like it, because I do. And so instead of all of that, crap that we, insecurity and imposter syndrome, I planted a flag and said, I think that what I'm doing is interesting. I think you might think so too, if you're a bass player. Right?
I think that a lot of people call you because of that.
Interesting. Yeah.
That, hey, Ian will be great on this project because he's bringing this sound.
Sure.
And as a producer, I can say that. And and that's what distinguishes you from other bass players here in town, that, hey, we need this sort of sound. I want this sort of sound on my production. Let's call Ian, see if he's available.
Well, thank you, Davide, because that's means a lot. I'm the guy that people call when they want, to be adventurous, maybe, with a sound. I love parts. I love sounds. I'm not the guy to call to play flashy solos, right? It's funny. I get to work sometimes with Corey Wong, and Corey calls me when he wants sounds or something dirty.
Yeah.
And he has guys, you know, the great Sonny Thompson, who played with Prince. And I mean, he calls Sonny when he wants funky, right? Mm. Because that is, Sonny Thompson is the funkiest.
Yes.
But he calls me when it leans rock and roll or when it leans distorted or, you know, something in that zone. I'm very fortunate for that.
Weird. Or sometimes weird.
Yeah, right.
Or something out of the box.
Something like, a little out of the box, yeah. And so I have, you know, for better or worse, I've planted that flag of that's who I am. That's my thing. I'm going to do sounds. I'm going to write parts. I'm not going to try to be the funkiest guy in the room. I'm not. But I am going to come up with a sound and a part for your record that is going to be interesting.
You know, you're at that point where people want you, as you're talking about, they call you, a producer like Davide or Corey Wong, a performer, they're going to reach out to you. So it's a beautiful position you've built for yourself. You've toured with some great ones. But what were the early days on the road when you're just starting out with a band? What were those like?
Oh, I mean, well, the early days with my rock band, we just thought we were going to take over the world. So,
but you had to load your own equipment.
Oh, of course. And I still do. You know, hey man, I still, you know, I still like a road case push. I'm no stranger to that. It's all good. Sometimes, you know, I get lucky to travel with a band that has a crew, but I love traveling. I like, and I don't mind getting a workout, man. I like pushing some cases, you know, it's all good. You know, I think, van life early on was difficult, but also it's amazing.
Yeah.
You know, you get to roll around this beautiful country with your friends playing music. Are you kidding?
Yeah.
So I don't do that as much anymore, but I'll still jump in that van if it's the right thing. I'll still load those cases in. It's all good. I mean, I want as many at-bats as I possibly can have in music. So if that means that I got to push a case, I got to break down some cables and amps afterwards, it's all good.
ScottsBassLessons.com. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. That came as a direct result from Instagram, where I made this presence. I started to tag them in things. I started to just tag people that I loved. I would reach out that way. But I wasn't asking them to do anything. I would just, when I thought of them and it was pertinent to what I was talking about in my life, I'd say, hey, take it from me, but there's an amazing organization that if you really want to get it together, go check out Scott. I tried to show love in that way. He started to pay attention to me. There was a great moment where I took maybe a week break. I hadn't posted something. And he started to watch all my stuff. And he went on and saw that I hadn't posted in a while. And he reached out to all of his, he had a huge platform, and said, everybody needs to go follow this guy right now. And you all have to tell him not to leave because I love watching this guy's content.
Wow,
and I woke up, man, and my phone had like melted into my dresser from all the, you know, like from all the notifications.
Awesome.
And I mean, it like tripled my follower count, my modest follower count at the time. And from that, we started to work together. And I just told him, I love what you do. I'm good at X, Y, and Z. I can contribute X, Y, and Z to you. And he said, why don't you try Y? You know? And so we did that, and then it grew from there. And I'm now the creative director at SBL. It's a huge YouTube channel. There's like 1.25 million subscribers.
Wow.
It's a big business. There's about 30,000 subscribers to the actual academy. It's about a 20 to 30 person staff. They're all over the world.
Wow.
I'm one of them, and I'm fortunate to be one of them.
Before I let you go, you're going to promote a concert. You're responsible for the acts on stage.
Love it.
Alive or not, you've got three. They can all be headliners, however you want to put them up there, but you've got three acts to choose from.
Got it. On
the spot with a lot of time to really think about this, and I'm sure you have a lot of musical influences in your life, and you know so many people. At the risk of not offending anyone, which is always easier to pick an act that's not alive anymore. But who would you put on that stage?
Wow. I mean, I immediately went to bands that are really inspiring that selfishly I sort of want to see on the same bill. I don't know if that's the right move or not. And then I'm thinking, oh, maybe this should be a bill of all of my friends and I should put their band on. But I'm going to go with my original thought. They're alive. The people that I think it would be incredible to see in a room together, the great Icelandic artist Björk, I love Bjork's music so much. I'm a huge fan. Then there's a band from Texas called Krongbin. Do you know this band?
I don't.
An instrumental band. They're absolutely amazing. And then I would also put there is sort of a newish band from California that I've just been loving lately called The Midnight. They do this amazing sort of like vaporwave music. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the three of those bands I want to see on a stage together. And they're very different, but I think there's a thread that connects them. And that's my bill.
Wow. Yeah.
So what's the bill for the hair metal bands?
Oh, that's great. That's great. Who's on the hair metal bill? Well, I mean, if we go throwback, I mean, I want to see Warrant. I want to see Winger on that bill. And I want to see maybe Poison. That'd be pretty fun, man. I'd like to see that bill.
I think I saw...
I'd like to do the voiceover for that one, if I could.
Yeah.
Poison.
Poison.
those are always the best ads. Okay.
You know. Oh my God, absolutely.
I saw Warrant and Firehouse in Hamel maybe 5 or 6 years ago.
How was it? Was it good or was it sad?
It was sad.
Oh,
it
was very sad. That's why. Yeah, there's some of those legacy bands that I just know that if I go to, it'll maybe break my heart.
The music is not even the same anymore. It's not played the same way.
Sure.
But, you know, you might have one member that's an original member, or maybe the last of the original members, sort of, and then the rest is all side musicians.
Hired guns.
Yeah, hired guns.
Well, let me amend my answer to say that in the spirit of the hair metal ask,
okay,
I want it to be Time Machine. I want to go back. Let's get that bill on in 89.
Yeah, okay.
Let's get that. Yeah.
All right.
That would be awesome. We've left so much out. I know we could sit here for another hour and just chat with you. But if I want to reach out and see your social media,
yeah,
or I want to see you performing somewhere, where would I go as a fan?
The best place to find me is on Instagram. I'm at Ian Martin Allison. It's all three of my names. Ian Allison was taken, stuck the Martin in there. And, you know, it's what my mom calls me when she's upset. But it's also what people call me, strangers that know me from the internet. So Ian Martin Allison on Instagram. That's where I'm talking about all the stuff going on.
Did you ever play a Martin guitar?
Oh, I own a Martin guitar. Absolutely. I love Martin guitars. Gee whiz. Yes.
Yeah. But with your own guitar, I mean, your own design now, that's quite impressive.
Well, thank you, good sir. Thank you.
Ian Allison's our guest here, Davide, another talented musician here in the Twin Cities, and an opportunity. Many of you have seen him, but if you haven't, you have that opportunity. I'd take full advantage of it. The beauty of that is to see his videos and his social media, because it's really fun to watch. And if you're a Peter Gabriel fan, you're really interested. You have that whole nice review of Tony Levin and Peter Gabriel and the So album is there as well, as we started out talking about here today. So our thanks to Ian for stopping by. Our thanks to Starbank.net for making it possible. And the AquariusHomeServices.com studios is where we're recording from today. Davide Rosso is our producer, a music producer in real life. And Dave here, and I encourage you to subscribe on Spotify, on Apple, at TalkNorth.com, where we have a lot of podcasts, by the way, that you'll enjoy. And in the meantime, we're going to take a break until next week again. And we'll see
next
you back
week.
Here next week with Poison and War.
Poison.
Scandal. Metallica. Yeah, you could go on and on. All right, there you go.